Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get up, man.
All right, love it.
We're going to need your impression of the bomb, da bomb, da bomb.
I can't do it.
All right. Who is this?
Marcells.
The Marcells. Great stuff. Blue Moon.
Had to pick it up a little bit. Anybody was just kind of laying around, you know, just got to get a little juice going here.
Love it.
For those non- get ready for those Aggies.
That's right.
For the non-coffee drinkers, we give you the Marcells.
It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group and the Marcells. Dave and Logan along with you. Coach Don in here in the studio for another hour, and we do appreciate everybody joining us, and the treat of the week, or one of the treats of the week, when Coach Don is here in the studio with us. 706-549-6000. You can hit us on the open mic on the 960 The Ref app, and you can also email 960theref@cmg.com. All right, let me find we done with last week? About are we good to go?
I'm over last week.
Are I we like good these to... throwaways, particularly when we win.
Golly.
I was going to say, Dave, hold on. I want to soak in that Auburn win for just another couple seconds.
Well, I can frame it if you want.
Rip it.
There's also a 52-3 win for Clemson over Wake Forest. Yeah, all right.
Get at it.
We're done. All right. Last week is gone.
Goodbye, Gus Bus.
Last week is gone, and now we are looking ahead to this week.
Might be the last time we play against Gus.
Before we get started, he's the Arkansas coach
Arkansas
in a couple of years.
Here in 2021.
Yeah. What do you think's more likely?
I don't think Arkansas will go on him after what happened before. I just don't think. Of course, you never know, but you know, there's probably some people down there that feel like he was used by the agent, you know, to get Morris the job and got. But you can't blame Gus and Jimmy Sexton. They parlayed that into a big contract.
Chad Morris's agent Jimmy Sexton also?
Right. And he's got 12 out of 14 in the league.
Most powerful man in college football.
So who's not a Jimmy Sexton guy? Do you know right off?
I don't think the Vanderbilt guy is.
Oh, Mason's not?
Stoops definitely is.
Oh, okay, Jimbo.
Maybe Ogeron might not be.
Okay. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that unbelievable? All right.
Or maybe Moorhead. I'm not sure.
To say something. Is something more likely than...
I was just going to say, thank you. Is Gus Malzahn more likely to coach against Georgia again as the Auburn coach or the Arkansas coach? No. And Coach kind of answered that.
Okay. More likely Auburn, I think.
Yeah. All right, Coach. We'll take our trip around the country in the SEC
in all fairness to Gus, his schedule... they played a remarkable schedule this year. Every team they've played that has beaten them in the top 10, you know. So, but at the same time, 3-5 last year in the SEC, lost 5 straight times to SEC East teams. It's just been on a downward spell since. I mean, they're like 50% in the conference since they won the conference championship 2 years ago.
Well, let me ask you this. We talk about South Carolina being in a rough spot right now because of where Georgia and Clemson are. Can you say the same thing about Auburn because of where Georgia and Alabama are?
Well, there's no question that they have a tough situation recruiting against Alabama and Georgia, but I think there's more players close to Auburn than there are to South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the contiguous areas that they've got to pick from. And the thing about Alabama, there's kids that grow up wanting to go to Auburn more than I think kids grow up wanting to go to South Carolina or Clemson. I mean, you see kids all the time you think are going to Clemson, go to South Carolina and vice versa. It's just a very small state, and boy, they got one of the best players in the country. He's going to commit on December the 19th, Jordan Birch, a big defensive lineman. He goes to high school there, right, with Will Muschamp's son there in Columbia that everybody in the country's after. It's top five are us, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina, and Clemson. I mean, and if they lose a kid right there in their own hometown to Georgia or, you know, or even Clemson, that's going to be tough on them.
All right, Coach. We're going to the emails, 960theref@cmg.com. Are you ready to go, sir?
Ready to go.
Strapper, the strap dog, has checked in. And yeah, this is a good question.
He always has good questions.
Yes, he does.
He takes them out.
All right, he says, Jimbo Fisher and Howdy Doody roll into Athens this week. What's the biggest worry against them? And you could also say, what's their biggest worry against Georgia on a wet field? Because right now the weather for Saturday doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I think that's something that really bothers everybody, because we had the situation with the Kentucky
game
where, you know, the ball was just hard to handle. You know, it won't be as cold for sure. I mean, you know, we're looking in the 60s maybe. So we had a 40-degree temperature there and had a lot of wind. So I think you can usually handle a wet ball if it's not cold. But certainly take away the rain and everything, they've got an outstanding quarterback. Kellen Mond would be the best quarterback we've played against, with the exception of Tua, in the last 2 years, in my opinion. This guy, and of course we got to go against Burrow this year. Burrow last year, you know, was up and down, but I think this kid can run, can throw. Everybody knows the kind of offense that Jimbo's developed. He's had a lot of pro quarterbacks. I mean, you go back to all the Jameis Winston, Jamarcus Russell. I mean, he's had a lot of pro quarterbacks play for him. And they just have a good system. They know what they're doing. And defensively, they've improved. And as I mentioned, they got a defensive lineman that leads the nation in tackles for loss. So,
good question.
Plus their punter was the Ray Guy Award winner last year.
He's good.
And for some reason, he's not nominated this year. He's not in the top picks. We got three from the SEC that are in it, and he's not one of them, and Camarge is not either. You know, so we've got some really good punters in this league.
How's he not in? How's man not in it? I thought he was like second or third in the country in punting.
I don't know. I guess it's because, you know, they don't want to give it to him twice or something. But I tell you, one of the things everybody will have a good time with Saturday is come out there and watch the pregame, watch him and Camarja going against each other.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look like there's a ball machine kicking the ball over the lights. These two guys are just thunderfoots.
Well, you know, they are fifth in the SEC in punting. I was trying to see if I can find – all right, so Max Duffy of Kentucky is leading the SEC in punting. Although, you know what I think of when I think of Max Duffy? Kind of that shank in the rain,
mm-hmm,
and
right.
Then Georgia scored on the next possession.
What is the A&M punter's name again?
Braden Mann.
That'd be a good song, Shank in the Rain by Max Duffy.
Shank in the Rain by Max Duffy and the Shankers.
We just got a side project to produce.
All right, so Mann's second in the SEC at 48.2, but he's not one of the I don't get that.
Yeah, you never know. But hopefully they'll have Rodrigo up for the
– Yeah.
Well, I would love to get a good sample size of how that kid punts. I'd love to see it Saturday.
All right.
Yeah, more he punts, the better. Yeah.
Stevie T, batting second. He says, all right, here you go. Delay of game punting, for the most part, is not a big deal because you're usually doing it on purpose. But Stevie T, this is a good question because I forgot about this. He says, what was the deal, though, that was called after the ball was set in play and the official had backed out at least 8 or 10
Here's
yards?
Here's the thing that chaps. You want to see something?
Here's something that's going to grind his gears.
It's going to grind my gears, going to shank my punt, going to chap my butt, is the fact that those officials can stand over the ball to let the other team get set. You know, when you sub, they got to sub. But while they're standing there, the clock's running down. And the referee's got to help you a little bit.
Yep.
If he's controlling the clock to let them get their people set, then he's got to help us a little bit on a reset on the 25-second clock. So he's exactly right. We needed some help on that, and Kirby was raising Cain about it. If you're gonna penalize us for being delay a game because you're standing over the ball, that's not right.
I agree. That's a great question.
And Kirby
TV.
Was hot for several
he
plays after
been.
That. He was
well,
hot.
Well, he's got a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our man Britt, B-R-I-T-T.
Britt, okay.
We heard from Britt last week, and Coach, you said if you got a chance, you were going to ask Kirby about running those traps. Britt says, I'm the big fat lineman that called last week. And he says, I saw where we trapped twice with the tight end, once with Werner and once with Wolf. And I'm pretty sure we picked up a first down on at least one of those plays. So did you get
it? Yeah, I asked him about it. He said, you know, we're more of a zone team. We don't pull linemen a lot. You know, we use more inside and outside zone, but we do use our tight ends, what we call a wham block. If a guy comes in motion and goes towards the line of scrimmage, we call it a wham. You know, you go in there and wham and hit the guy. You know, he can see you coming. I mean, it's not a blindside kick, but it's kind of a kick out block like a guard would pull on the counter tray. You know, the old watching the Redskin play where the guard would pull and the tackle would pull and they run the counter. That's a wham block. And then the replace block is when you line up and go in motion and then come back out to the outside, and then you replace the guy that's blocking down, and you seal the outside there. So he was right. We did a couple of those, and they worked good.
By the way, my favorite wham is the wham block and not George Michael and okay, wake me up fair. Before you go-go.
I was
in case you were wondering.
Hey, I like that.
What's the Christmas song by Wham? Last Christmas?
Yeah.
That one. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite Wham?
Absolutely.
James says, this is not James and Winder, it's a different James, is Georgia's offense good enough to get to 40 against LSU?
No question. Yeah. I wouldn't even doubt that one bit.
I
mean, our offense has had some ups and downs. There's no question about it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I've coached football for a long time and watched football for a long time, and I'm certainly not an authority. But I'm going to tell you this. Those guys that we played against on defense Saturday, I mean, if they're so bad, what happened to LSU against them?
Can I add to that question?
Yeah. I mean, LSU scored 23.
Yeah. I know.
It's just hard to score on these guys. Now, granted, we had some plays that should have been better, and we missed some plays and all that, and there's no excuse for having 9 3 and outs, maybe 4 or 5, but you know, that in the fourth quarter we just didn't function. But if you'd have told me before the game that we'd get 21 points, I would have been doing I would have got a conga line up there in front of the Buttsmere building, and David and I would have done the funky chicken.
I would have, yes.
That would have been a fun
40 for 21 points.
Let me tack on to James's question. James asked, can Georgia's offense score 40 against LSU? Coach, can Georgia's defense keep LSU under 40 or 39 or less?
Yeah, I think we can for sure. I mean, Auburn did. I think our defense is very comparable to Auburn. You know, Auburn kept the ball in front of them the whole game against LSU, didn't give them any big plays. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, the week of that game, I guess we'll still have a show that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about break it down. But, you know, we got to burn our saddle about LSU last year. We played very poorly, made a lot of mental errors, didn't tackle well. We were a very good tackling team this year, an excellent tackling team, one of the best in the country, one of the least amount of turnovers in the country. We got a good kicking game. I like our shot. I tell you what, they might be the number one ranked team in the country, but I like our shot. We're ranked number 4.
Yeah, I like our shot too. All right, here's an email from Dave. Lots of writers and fans are commenting that it appears Coach Smart, Coach Coley, have a tendency to take the foot off the gas once there's a lead of 2 or more scores. Do you agree with that impression? And if you do, could that be a dangerous tendency against LSU? That's Dave in Columbia, South Carolina.
I don't think we would ever do that against LSU. A lot of it's based on the other team's ability to score and the way our defense is playing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We did that against Kentucky. We did that against Florida. We did that against Auburn. I mean, these are not prolific offensive teams. So you play field position football, you get a lead, and if you sit on it, you sit on it. So we're not into those style points, and we're not a big play team right now for some reason. We're just not making a lot of big plays. But the other day, we just didn't make enough first downs. We ran 49 plays. We made 16 first downs, which is one-third of the time, but which is okay. But all 16 of them came in three marches.
All right, Tony.
Tony, my man. He's a man. He always got good stuff. Don't
this
let
is
me
a
down,
good
Tony.
Question. He says, I say it like I'm surprised. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying I like this question too. He says, as a coach, and you're starting to hear that the forecast for the weekend is not looking good, is there a point where you start altering your game plan or changing things up, or what do you do?
Yeah, you have some what-ifs based on anything, and you always have. like you have a coaches meeting Friday night, and then you have another one Saturday, which you go about, you know, different things that happen, you know, whether we win the toss, what are we going to do about this, you know, if it's raining. But preparation-wise, I know we do a wet ball drill all week where we take these balls and we got a big bucket out there and we put the balls in the water and then snap, you know, use those to throw and catch. And do the same thing with the defense, because you got a chance to intercept a pass on a wet ball. You got to practice that too. So, but you know, you go into that from a standpoint of, hey, more than likely you're not going to be able to rush the passer as well because of the footing. They're not going to be able to rush the passer. You should be able to throw the ball better in wet conditions as long as it's not cold and windy. But so we could maybe see a little more passing if it is raining.
All right, here's a question from Dave in the studio.
Dave?
From Sparkle City.
Don't grind your gears.
Yeah. How in the hell, excuse me, Carol, if she's listening, kind of like Kirby and Mary Beth,
yeah,
do the Falcons do what they've done the last 2 weeks, Coach? What in the heck is going on?
You know, I give them credit for the off week. They went in and reassessed where they were, what they needed to do. They delegated some responsibilities, made a couple coaching moves, moved a guy from offense to defense who had coached before, changed up some play calling on defense, and just talked to the players about, look, you know, we got half the season to go. We got to put it together. We got too much pride, and we got a lot of good players, and let's just not stop beating ourselves with penalties and big mistakes. And two big conference road wins. I mean, go on a beat the Saints down there and beat Panthers like they did. So there's a lot of hope now because they can play up their potential. You know, a lot of times you just have one of those everybody look yourself in the mirror type deals, and I think Coach Quinn looked himself and said, look, I got to give up some of this defensive responsibility and be more of a head coach, and it's worked out well. I hope they can keep on going.
Just head scratching.
Well,
just head,
I mean,
scratching.
The thing you can't do now is say, hey, well, only if we'd have done this the first five, hey, that's over with. You got to forget it. And
the difference is they were just so atrocious in the first half of those games. Mm-hmm. And then these games, they've been really good in the first half.
Yeah. And one of the things that I always remember that my father told me, and a little philosophy here, but you know, he was in the Army, he was a captain in the Army, and he was in the Army Reserve, and they had this Army manual.
Yep.
And one of the things in the Army manual said, after death, you can handle anything else.
Yeah.
So if you have a setback, and all of us have had setbacks, I mean, no matter what they are, if you just react to that and understand that, hey, you still got a chance, and football's like that too. I mean, it seems like it's life or death when you lose a game, but at the same time, learn from your mistakes. Don't say if only. Say next time. Change those two words around. The next time we got the same situation, this is what we're going to do.
You know,
that's why you see a lot of teams get better. I think that's one thing about defensively for sure. We got a lot better with some of these younger players coming in and supplementing our team. We don't have a lot of all-star guys, but we got guys that know their roles. We play a lot of different packages. We keep morale up by playing guys. Now all of a sudden we got Campbell and Stevenson both playing lights out, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth defensive backs. So really going to help us against LSU and A&M.
By the way, you know who's leading or living that philosophy of not looking back and all that stuff or setbacks? A man who was in the golf wilderness for like 3 years, Brandon Todd. And now he's won two tournaments in a row.
Yeah, I was reading about him last night. He said he was kept talking to his wife about what we're going to do, and they were pretty well set up, but they weren't making much money, so they were thinking about opening up a Your Pie, and which is a good deal.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
They got like 70 some franchises now, and I'm not doing an advertisement for them, but you need to get Carol to go talk to him about sponsoring us. But
that's right.
But he was thinking about it. But now with two straight wins, I mean, he's on Tulsa time now. I mean, he qualified for the Masters.
It's insane.
You know what his nickname was when he played here?
What's that?
Grease Tea. He could get up and down. Boy, he was unbelievable for
That's good.
He was one of the best short game players ever.
I remember Coach Hack talking about when he won the Byron Nelson in 2014. About was like, Brendan, the thing about him is it doesn't matter. He can miss the green, and he'd put his money on Brendan to get up and down over anybody else.
Yeah, I mean,
else.
like old Charlie Reimer said, he can get up and down from a submarine.
That's good stuff. All right, let's see here. All right, we squeeze one more in. This is Lee checking in. Thank you, Lee, on the Dogs defense. He says, I heard somewhere that we play 25-plus guys through the course of the game on D. With them staying that fresh and LSU not that good on defense, chances look great. The differentials in offense versus defense between the two teams definitely falls in Georgia's favor.
Yeah, I mean, our defense is really good. Their defense is like, you know, there hasn't been a team win the national championship in the last 10 years that wasn't in the top 10 in defense except one time. And the other nine, always that. So we'll have to see. I mean, LSU certainly got going to win against Arkansas. But they got a tough fight against Texas A&M. We do, too. I'm just telling everybody. Kellen Mond scares me. I mean, I'm not even the coach, and I'm sweating right here, worrying about this guy can throw like a BB guns, and he can run. He's a big physical kid that can run and make. He had 40 yards rushing last week. You know, scrambling. We've had trouble with scrambling quarterbacks. So, anybody thinks we're in for walk in the park Saturday, I mean, hey, get your game face on. Come in here. We got to have the same kind of crowd we had for A&M that we did for Notre Dame. And we've got some big-time prospects coming in here Saturday. I mean, we got some guys making their official visit, and it's going to be really good to have that kind of atmosphere for these guys to see what it's all about to play in Sanford Stadium, Dooley Field.
Can't wait. Can't wait. All right, when we come back, we'll see what the big games are and what Coach thinks of them. It is 9:29.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory
bringing tears to my eyes, Coach?
That's just too good.
Welcome back in the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan, Dave, and Coach Don along with you, and an artist that needs no introduction because, as Coach says, only one perfect instrument has ever been invented in this world. And what is it, Coach?
Elvis' voice.
Elvis's voice.
It's not. We're not going to be able to listen to the best part, but when he gets back to that, go ahead, stop there. But he says, now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if you won't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down.
Any reason we're playing Are You Lonesome Tonight, or just in the mood for it?
I'd just dedicate that to Gus Malzahn.
I love it, love it. Get your questions in. I got one. You're going to like this, Coach.
All right.
I got a question from the third best fisherman all of Lincoln County.
I hope he's not the prophet of doom.
No, it's a legitimate question. He wants to know, because this week is senior night or senior day, how do you keep the seniors focused and not kind of staring up into the crowd thinking this is my last time here? Because I imagine some folks have that nostalgic bug kick them this Saturday.
It's always a paradox for you, because you want to honor the seniors and you want to let them go out and style their last game at the field. But at the same time, it's an emotional situation. Their parents and their family are there, and they're running down through the players. And you as a coach getting to sit there and wait and hug their neck one more time, you know, a lot of flashes of what that kid's been through the whole time he's been there, whether he's a walk-on or a star or whatever it might be. He's been part of your family. He's been part of your team that you've helped him develop as a man. And it's just very emotional for everybody, and you've got to be able to – get that out of the way and get back to reality. You got a game to play, you know what I mean? So it's a very difficult, as much as it's something you want to celebrate, it always worries you, you know, because so I always like to do it as early as we can before we get back in the dressing room. I mean, you don't want that to be the last thing, and then you got 5 minutes till you come out, you know. So hopefully he can do it a little bit so they can get back to reality. You can get in there. Okay, bang your heads against the wall. Get ready to go, you know. I mean, forget about your mom and dad. Let's go. We got to play ball.
Love it.
That's a good question, though. That's
it's tough now. I'm telling you. I mean, it's emotional. I mean, it's hard to – I mean, there's nothing wrong with emotion, though. I think emotion is great. You know, people that show their emotions, I think it's so much better than people try to hide it. You know, the smallest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. There's nothing wrong with crying and being happy for your people and all that. So, hey, emotion's good.
Absolutely.
You ready to look ahead a little bit here,
yeah,
Coach?
Yeah, let's go for the look ahead.
All right, we got two games. Now, I'm using the AP poll because the playoff poll comes out tonight, which, by the way, do we all agree, the three of us, that it's probably going to stay LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia?
I think so.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and they might do something with Alabama with Tua's situation.
Yeah.
But more than likely they shouldn't. But, you know, Oregon continues to win big. Utah wins big. And both of those teams, if you watch them, have so many so much – likeness to SEC teams. I mean, they got a lot of speed,
yep,
quickness. They have, you know, Mario Cristobal was a coach at Alabama. He's recruited in that type environment. And they've really got a lot of SEC-type players. And then, of course, Utah's got a multi-threat running quarterback that can throw and run. Had a tough loss to SC on the road, but they should be able to run the table, you know, and then that Pac-12 championship game, mm-hmm, might have something to do with who's going to play for all of it.
I was going to say, there's a chance there's a 12-1 conference champion coming out of that thing.
Right.
You know what I love about the Pac-12 championship game? It's on Friday night instead of Saturday,
good, right,
against all the other games.
It's so we can watch it. I hope it comes on early and not,
yeah,
like 10 o'clock. So we got,
yeah, all right, so
we got two
matchups of 25 top 25 teams. The Dogs and Texas A&M, they're 24th. But the other one is Ohio State and Penn State, 2-9.
Well, you know, Penn State really had a tough loss to Minnesota. Didn't look very good that day. And they got to go on the road and play Ohio State. Ohio State's got their good defensive end coming back after a two-game suspension. The difference between Ohio State and LSU is the defense for Ohio State. Just, you know, they're like us. Going into last week's game, they'd only given up 8 touchdowns. They gave up a couple to Rutgers there, you know, and we gave up a couple to Auburn. But I think they've given up 11 touchdowns this year. We've given up 10. But, you know, Justin Fields has 41 touchdowns rushing and passing and 1 turnover. That's 41-1. Unbelievable. And you can say that he's hadn't played against many good teams and all that, but Wisconsin's a good team for sure. He's going to be tested this week, but he's got such a good offensive line and a great back in that J.K. Dobbins. I think they're 17-point favorite. I look for them to play at home and win this game handily.
I agree with you.
By the way, Coach, that Friday night Pac-12's at 8 p.m. our time kickoff.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
We'll be just getting,
mm-hmm,
off the
Bulldog Friday night, mm-hmm, show. Yeah, right. So get right in and check that out. All right, we're going to – our Clemson's off this week. We've already talked about Bama, Western Carolina. We've already talked about the Pac-12. Here's some other games sprinkled in. I'll just get your thoughts. So Oklahoma already has a loss, and now they've got 2 narrow wins. What is the rhetoric on Oklahoma? I mean,
they're going to need some help. I mean, everybody knows their defense is not very good, and you look at what's going on. The one thing that's in Oregon's favor, any way you look at it, from my standpoint, the chairman of the committee is from Oregon, and
yeah,
he has to distance himself from any talk about Oregon. But I mean, he's going to have a lot to say about that, that's for sure. But I think Oklahoma's got a, if they can end up and win this week, they got a home game with TCU, and then, you know, Gary Patterson always plays Oklahoma,
mm-hmm,
tough. And then next week they got to play the Bedlam game at Stillwater. And, you know, Oklahoma State's got a great back. I mean, this kid's rushing for a lot of yards. So, you know, OU could win the next 3 games and still not make it, though. I mean, they'll be 8th or 9th tonight. So a lot of things got to happen for them to make it.
All right, two teams that lost their first game of the year last week. Minnesota's at Northwestern, and Baylor's hosting Texas.
Well, you know, Northwestern finally got on the scoreboard last week. They played UMass. That's a good way to get your offense going. But this anemic offense, I look for Minnesota to probably win that game and then play, I think, Wisconsin the last game. But seriously, Texas and Baylor, I mean, I looked at a stat yesterday that just overwhelmed me. In the last 10 years, and I know Texas beat us last year, Texas has lost at least four games every season.
In 10 years?
10 years.
A decade sample size.
So they have 40 losses in the last 10 at least, and they had somewhere 5 and 6 losses. So they're playing against a team in Baylor that's won every close game but the one last week. They only ran 11 plays in the second half last week. OU kept them off the field. They had a couple turnovers. And OU figured it out finally that they weren't just going to try to score on every play, and they ran some ball possession and kept Baylor off the field. And Hurts was just a warrior the whole night. You know, he had a couple turnovers, but they came back and won. But I think Tom Herman said yesterday that the difference between Baylor and Texas is Baylor's won all these close games, like the overtime game against TCU, the tight fit against Iowa State, and the Texas Longhorns have lost all those close games. But anyway you look at it, Texas went to the wire against LSU. I mean, that game, we saw it the first of the year, and they're a 6-4 football team. So they got a good enough players that they can play with Baylor, although it's on the road. I would think Texas would win that game.
All right, Coach, follow me here, and then you can tell me if I'm an idiot.
I would never do that.
We're going to the Big Ten.
One of the smartest guys I know. Yeah. Dave Johnson.
And I'll tell you every time.
He's an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Michigan's at Indiana. All right, so here's my question. If Indiana were Minnesota this year, we'd be talking about Indiana.
Exactly. I mean, they're not rowing the boat. They don't have an issue there. Their coach is just a – looks like Mr. Rogers. You know, I mean, he's a good guy, but he's just, you know.
But their fault is they're on the wrong side.
Yeah, they're with the Eastern Division. Good. They got Penn State. They played Penn State last week, got a lot of points. And they can move the ball. But Michigan's finally putting it together. Their offense – playing comparable to their defense. And next week we got the Michigan-Ohio State game, same time we got our game with Tech. And the thing I like about us playing at 12 is, you know, that's that much more time we can get ready for LSU. I mean, LSU plays at night. So even though it's a little bit, we should be really fresh for that championship game.
Well, certainly looking forward to that. I was going to see if there was anything else to fire your way before we talked about put the finishing touches on the Dogs and A&M. You called it last week, I believe, and Logan and I both were on the wrong side. We had Navy catching the points against Notre Dame, and that was a terrible call.
You know, Navy always has trouble when they play an independent that can throw the ball because they can't rush the passer. They never practice against it. They don't play the ball in the air very well with their pass defense. And if they get behind, they don't have the ability to come from behind. So they were out-athleted. They played against a team on the road, first time in – long time it wasn't a sellout crowd there at Notre Dame Stadium, but they just have a hard time against the really good athletic teams because they, you know, their offense is based on keeping the ball away from everybody and doing all that. And we got the spotlight.
I was going to say, talking about it.
Yeah, so,
talking about Notre Dame, the lights come on.
Notre Dame, good football team. I mean, hey, I'm glad we got, and you know, we're going to. This A&M game is going to help our resume. I mean, this will be another top 25 win for us because next week when they talk about it, it will, even though A&M will probably drop out of the top 25 if they lose to us, it will be a win over a top 25 team. That'll give us our fourth, right?
Yes, indeed. I'll ask this question for Logan because I know he'll like it, actually like it too. The Bud Foster retirement tour, he pitches a shutout against against Tech. And Virginia Tech hadn't stopped anybody, so where did that come from?
Virginia Tech's another Atlanta Falcons story.
They started
out the season woeful. They made a change at quarterback, put this dual threat kid in, and all of a sudden have come off the deck. I mean, they're going to play Virginia probably for the ACC championship to see who goes in to play Clemson. It's kind of a booby prize deal, but – they really have come off the mat and had a good year. And, you know, you talk about Bud Foster. He's had a great career as a defensive coach. And he's really the game, the change in styles hurt his defense. You know, he was a lot like the coach at Arkansas now, Chief, you know, Chavis.
Yeah, Chavis.
The coach that coached at Tennessee and LSU and Texas A&M. They were an eight-man front team, a pressure team that can really good against the run. But once you go to a spread, their defense wasn't set up to beat all these spread things, and they've had to adjust. And Foster's done some good things with that. And last couple of years, he really had some NFL players playing back there in the secondary. But then last year, they weren't very good, and this year, similar. But they shut down Tech. You know, Tech's just had a miserable year trying to convert from the three-back set to the, you know, throwing the ball. I still think they'll be a formidable team under Jeff Collins. I think he'll do the job over there. He knows how to recruit, and they'll get a lot of these players that we can't take.
All right, Coach. Yeah, you're getting players in a year. That's a good point. And those will be some good leftovers.
Yeah, some of the guys are going to South Carolina and Tennessee and places like that that, you know, that we can't take because of the, you know, we got such a national base now. But I could tell the Jeff Collins joke, but I'm not.
Gonna hold off.
We'll keep it. Well, that sounds like to me is a lot of guys in the future that will be, and they always play with a chip on their shoulder. But it sets up an even more, bigger chip.
It's always a challenge. Oh, yeah. But it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of crowd there'll be there, because I don't know if a lot of Tech people want to see that.
I'm looking forward to being there.
As usual, we'll have as many as they will.
I'm looking forward to being there.
All right, we got about, I don't know, a minute or two. What do we got for Saturday?
Well, this game here is going to be a matchup of two really good coaches. Jimbo Fisher's among the top five or six in the country, just like Kirby is. Two good staffs. They got a lot of good assistant coaches, just like we do. And it's going to be a case of understanding that you got to play good field position and you can't give these guys anything easy. Their defense maybe not as talented as Auburn, but they make you work for it. You know, you got to execute. So we're going to have to take care of the ball and make enough plays in the passing game where our running game can be like it is. I look for our offense to run the ball good against them. And then defensively, we got to make sure on third down that we don't let this guy scramble and get another set of downs on us. I think as long as we don't let him hurt us running and scrambling, we'll be okay. But he's just a magnificent athlete that can really, you know, a lot like – he's not as big as Cam Newton, but he's a big kid that can move around and can hurt you. So this is not going to be a walk in the park game. I mean this is the best team to me overall that we've played this year. Very similar to Notre Dame, but maybe, you know, I don't know. They're both close, so it's going to be a tough game.
Well, I wish I'd heard you say we're going to win by five touchdowns.
Yeah, I was waiting on that part.
We'll be okay, but, I mean, it's not going to be like, hey, everybody talking about, hey, get the Tech game out of the way, let's go play LSU. I look for – it'll be harder for us to move the ball on them than it will LSU. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good stuff, Coach.
Enjoyed it.
Look forward to seeing you Friday night at the Blind Pig.
We got the menu already set.
BLTs
right?
And Brunswick stew.
We're going to be doing it.
Please, we are not changing that.
Thanks for dialing up some of my songs today.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to really start working. I'm really getting low on them as far as my favorites, but I'll bring
it. Hey, we can run them back. We'll play them over.
We'll keep going there.
Well, I may pop my head in Friday night at the Blind Pig, too, so I'll see you there, Coach. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll come back and find out what we learned on the other side. It's 9:51.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.